"There's not much anymore, all under one roof," says Geoffrey, as he looks upon row upon empty row of shelving. He hits the light switch on the store, and the lights go out for the last time. He slopes off, in an elegant style, and the only way a giraffe can, towards the setting sun. A now empty briefcase in his clutches, he keeps on walking until he reaches the coast. He thinks, "There's a magical place. I'm on my way there." He continues to gently stroll across the beach and towards the surf. Poor Geoffrey keeps walking into the sea and never stops. With liquids in its millions, all under one silvery blue roof. It's called Sweet Release. Sweet Release, Sweet Release.
Oh my God, Kutch.
R.I.P. Toys R Us.
Poor Geoffrey. He fucked it.
He took the honourable way out. Think how far out he'd have to go as a giraffe. His head underwater.
A periscope.
That was the kind of imagery I was going for. It's a long walk.
Walk of shame.
To Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. The first rule of Fife Club is...
talk about Fife Club.
Oh, that was all right. Yeah. I'll give you about a 4 out of 10.
Just wait till Saturday, I'll go mental.
Oh, no. So, let's just jump right into this. On the mics tonight with my good self, Kutch, is the Dr. Noah Fife. It's Jamie.
Oh, hello.
And next to him is the pussy galore of Fife. It's Dave.
I am a massive pussy.
I thought you were going to say, you know, I think of myself as Honor Blackman. And you know,
More of a Grace Jones type, I'd say.
You are very tall.
I'm also, no. Androgynous.
And from the 80s. Well, suppose.
He is the 80s. Never mind from it. Yeah.
80s encapsulated. So yeah, we're down a number this week. Mark is doing his whole making money and basically working for the man.
He's Imagine selling it. His body at the docks again.
Yeah.
We all know it.
Well, maybe that's working for men.
Many men.
Than the man. But yeah, so he's not with us and everybody else was unavailable. And we thought we would just make it a short wee one. It might not be that short, but we'll see what happens. We said this last week. Yeah, we were supposed to be at Comic-Con. This is what this episode was supposed to be.
Mm.
But thank you, Beast from the East. Not only did it stop us in our tracks from getting together last week, it also stopped Comic-Con dead in its tracks.
Boo, snow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically the guys at Pitt and Creek Park could not guarantee the safety, could not clear it and guarantee the safety of people attending. So they had to cancel the event, which was a massive blow to the guys at Little Shop of Heroes who've been organising it for the last 9 months.
Yeah.
It was all a bit shit from there. But what was absolutely amazing to see was the community around about them just like kick into gear. Mm. Straight away, people were saying, well, we don't want a refund. Obviously, you know, we had those guys on and they were talking to us about, you know, the potential risk that they have in putting this on every year. And I don't think at any point was there a thought that...
oh, it's going to snow.
Yeah. It's going to snow so bad that we're not going to be able to put the event on. I mean, they were still, what, Wednesday? They were still putting up the marquee.
Yeah.
They still thought it was going to go ahead, but it was Thursday morning that everything fell to bits. But yeah, as I say, people started messaging them saying, we don't want the refund, keep it. You know, that's, you know, we've already spent the money. They then put out an email address saying, email this if that's the case. So we've done that, and I know they've had hundreds of emails all about it. And then there was lots of people saying, well, let's set up a GoFundMe. And I think there was about six or seven folk about to do it, at which point Visit Dunfermline stepped in and said, well, why don't we do one and this is it. And they spoke to the guys at Little Shop Heroes, and they managed to put a GoFundMe together, which has, in the first 48 hours, raised...
over £10,000 in the first 48 hours, yeah. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at the moment it's sitting... at this precise time, £11,546 raised.
That's awesome.
Which is quality.
Yeah. It is. And yeah. It's been required because, like they said, that the money for the tickets as it was coming in was getting spent. It was getting spent on the guests arriving. It was getting spent on all the set pieces and all the stuff that they have. So pretty much they had no money for refunds. They had no money to continue paying people, which there were things that were still needing paid for, even though it wasn't going ahead. And vendors as well who were there who'd paid for a table, you know, there need to be refunds there. But yeah, it basically was going to be a massive, massive financial hit for them. And everybody has pulled together. And I was speaking to Albie on Sunday, and he basically said that what was a massive sort of hole is now actually much smaller and very manageable, or much more manageable.
Yeah, it's great to hear.
Yeah, and it looks like because of the GoFundMe, they're going to be able to do refunds for people that want refunds this week. But what I would say out there is if you have been listening and you would like to put anything towards it, the links are on our page. You've probably seen us posting it up. You got a pound, got £2. You know, just if you can put something in, we'd all appreciate it. They'd all appreciate it. It stops a local business from potentially going under.
Yeah. Exactly. Support your local band.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
They obviously they've got their charity. They do a lot for the area. They've been putting on this Comic Con, bringing in people into Dunfermline, into Fife. I'm really quite passionate about it. Like the fact that they put themselves at this risk to do what they do, and because of a wee bit of snow, it's caused absolute havoc for them, and they're definitely. People that don't think deserve it at all, no. And they.
Well, that's
if you feel like you want to help and you can help, we would love it if you could.
Yeah, I mean, I chipped in a fiver. I'm not into comics. Nope. I've never even been to Little Shop of Heroes in my puff. Uh-huh. But it's the fact that it's like you say, Jamie. It's support your local band, and it's one of these things where they, as Albie said on the episode when you guys went in and spoke to him, it's like a proper wee community.
Yeah,
that they've got going in, and it's the fact that the community's kind of come out to actually support them and kind of show their support and show their faith in them and show that they don't want them to go anywhere. It's absolutely fucking brilliant.
Yeah. I mean,
because they're doing a good thing, eh? So
they've also made a safe space for you know, people who maybe are not necessarily the most popular people out there, and
people who are a bit weird at a school like us.
Basically. And you know, and that they've got a safe place where they can go and talk about whatever it is that's on their mind, and you know what, they will sit and listen. will, you know, I've been in there and been at the back of, you know, some younger guy or even older guy or gal, you know, that have been in the store and just talking their ears off, and you know what, they'll listen and they'll talk and they'll give you as much back as you give to them. They've got that games room. As I say, they have like Warhammer and all sorts going on down there at the weekends. And again, that's this whole thing of community and, you know, just, they've built that. And I think they definitely deserve to continue being able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, the Beast from East very much made Dunfermline like Hoth. And then,
ironically,
the Beast from East came in an AT-AT form, right? the big walk of things for non-nerds. And then Little Shop of Hero thought they were done because they destroyed one of their power generators. But then the snow speeders of the community came out, set up a GoFundMe and tangled those fuckers' legs up and crashed it. And all the ships got away fine. Never okay.
Yeah. And now all the AT-ATs are just kind of at the side of the road and grey mangled heap gradually being eroded by the rain.
I was going to say, since it was a Comic-Con episode, I came dressed as an AT-AT, guys. What are you guys? Why haven't you got any costumes on? What the hell?
I'm Jabba the Hutt, Jamie.
It's Cut Jabba's little hell friend.
Excuse me.
But no, you're obviously Jabba's, what's his name? I can't remember his proper name.
Ben Fortuna.
Jalani Wanga.
Yeah. Ben Fortuna, yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. Bother. That's the only bit of Star Wars knowledge I have.
Jabini Wanga.
Yeah. No, Jet Up, though. Like, Jet Up, it's worth supporting them. So if anybody does want to chuck in, like, forgo that bag of Revels and chuck that £1.50 in, it was helping out.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah. And then buy yourself a bag of Revels for being a good guy.
Well done.
Slash girl.
Also, if you had a ticket, if you are listening, you had a ticket and you don't want the refund, there is an email address. It's on our Facebook page. I think it's like comiccon@littleshopofheroes.co.uk. Just send it an email saying no refund with the details of your email address that you bought the tickets with and how many tickets and your name, and they'll sort that out. So that's another way that you can help out as well. And if the guys from Little Shop of Heroes are listening, as I've been in, I've spoke to yous, but you know, if you need any of our help, we are more than happy to do something or anything that we can.
Unless it's shoveling snow, because I'm fucking done with that.
Can I draw the line at sexual favours as well?
I'm right with that.
Well, yeah, I do. The rest of the guys, I'll let them speak for themselves, but yeah. So it was that's totally rubbish, and of course we weren't able to record on Saturday.
That's
so
a real tragedy here.
It's an absolute tragedy. It means that the three of us are here now having to try and come up with some content for the show that was never meant to be.
How about them bars?
How about them new houses?
Well, I've got a news story.
You got some news for us?
I've got a feel-good story, mm-hmm. which I didn't know was coming about. I knew one of them was in trouble, but Britain first leader and deputy leader jailed for hate crimes.
Yes.
Oh, yay! Leader and deputy leader of far-right group Britain First have been found guilty of religiously aggravated harassment. Yes. Huh. Paul Golding, 36, and Jada Franson, 32, were arrested over the distribution of leaflets and posting of online videos during a gang rape trial. Oh, they're just terrible people.
They really are, and I'm so glad it's happening to them.
Yeah. It was horrifying when my cousin came over, who's pretty cool. He's like a libertarian, mm-hmm. but not dickhead libertarian, so it's okay.
Okay.
Well, he's part of my family, so he's obviously a bit of a dickhead. but he was like, oh yeah, I saw it, you know, do you have many problems of like sort of no-go areas over here? I was like, no. And he was like, oh, what's the guy's name? I saw a video of, what's the EDL guy's name?
Oh,
Robinson. Tommy Robinson.
Tommy Robinson.
And he was like, I saw a video of this guy, Tommy Robinson. I was like, right, stop right there. Oh. He was like, no. He's like fascist, like out and out fascist.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that actually horrified me that people in other countries who don't know the context would see that and be like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, there's literally nowhere like that in the UK.
But then it's also like that Fox report that went on about Birmingham being like one of the most, what was it?
Under Sharia law and
it just like,
do you know, it does exist Sharia law, but it's a civil thing, just like the Jewish courts, which name I've forgotten. I mean, the books of Talmud, but it's mm-hmm. the court, and it's a civil thing, and it's completely voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not for everyone actually, mm-hmm. but I don't hear many people going on about the Jewish one because they say, "Oh, you're being anti-Semitic."
Yeah,
but you know, it's
it's just mental though, and it is that thing where that gets repeated a lot, and it's like by sort of like right-wing Americans, and it's like, well, that's nonsense.
Yeah,
Birmingham is a perfectly lovely place to go.
I went to a cracking comic shop in Birmingham, actually, strangely. And the oldest working cinema in the UK was very nice.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. It's all right. Ken, it's a big English city.
Yeah, but it's weird, Birmingham, because it feels like it's on the, it doesn't feel like Manchester. Manchester feels fun, if a bit like mental. Whereas Birmingham feels like it's a shit part of London.
Birmingham feels.
But like I do like Birmingham.
Birmingham feels like it needs a fucking wash. Like a couple of times I've been in it or through it or seen it.
I'd only ever been in it for like martial arts seminars and that sort of thing. But I spent a couple of days in it. And I actually really enjoyed it. I'm taking the piss, but I actually really enjoyed it.
I get what you're saying, David. Like recently, it was probably about 10 years ago, I remember being down there, and I remember it being totally different from what I remembered it originally, and it actually kind of feeling like it was, there was a lot of regeneration and that kind of thing going on. So, as with most of the most cities in the UK at the moment. We've got that sort of aye.
See what you're saying about, you know, places that, you know, repeat this Sharia thing, yeah, you know, all this stuff, and it's always things like
Shakira's law.
It's always papers like maybe the Telegraph, but usually the Sun or the Mail. Did you see the thing with the Sun today talking about Frankenstein?
No.
Frankenstein. Well, they said Frankenstein. They meant Frankenstein's monster for a fucking start.
Yeah.
But they were like, snowflake millennials think that Frankenstein was stitched up, and that he was like ganged up against. It's like that's the whole point of the fucking book.
That is the story.
It's like, it's unbelievable. The Sun deleted their tweet, but last time I looked, the Telegraph still had their article up about it. It was like, mate, that have you read? That's the whole fucking point.
It's also using that term stitched up.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Sun headline. It does. It really does. Yeah,
totally.
It was something like, stitched up. That's the whole point. I mean, obviously, the man meddling with science thing as well.
But yeah.
The social ramifications, that's the whole point.
Oh, fuck. I hate people. I hate this country.
I'm getting there rapidly. Like, not just this country, most of the world.
Yeah.
Like,
humanity would be so much better with no people in it.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that said about France before. France would be great without French people. No, France would be great without people.
Do you know what, right? People say that a lot, but I actually kind of enjoy it, and when I've been to France a few times, I have. But I enjoy the service guys being rude to me, because I've worked in restaurant. Well, I've worked in cafes and restaurants and shit. They've got a great culture where it's actually a profession there, and they're not there to say, "Oh, have a nice day." Oh, yeah, they're just like, "Here it is, your food."
Yeah.
Goodbye.
You have been served.
Yeah.
Au revoir.
Yeah. Which I'm like, thank you. I don't need your inane chit chat.
Where is my 12.5%?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
No, it's because we went over to Paris last year for Charlotte's birthday, and I'd been warned like Parisians are notoriously rude. We got across there, it was like some of, like, genuinely the friendliest people. And I think it's because we kind of put a bit of effort into speaking French and stuff. Yeah. Like, Charlotte's quite kind of clued up on it. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I'm very much, I speak German. Like, even if I don't speak German, that's what I sound like. So it's just like, everyone was like dead friendly.
Uh-huh.
But when I was in Normandy, the guy who was in the garden behind us, who owned the house kind of adjacent to the one that we were staying in, was chasing birds around his garden, shouting "putain oiseau," meaning "whore birds."
Yeah,
and swinging his fucking broom at them. It was just entertainment for the masses. He was all right.
Wow.
Yeah. Liberté, égalité, fraternité, fuck birds.
Yeah, no, the French are all right.
You've got the Five Club seal of approval.
Yeah. Well done, France.
You make damn tasty food, but oh, wait for it. Italy's better, bitches, for food. It's a fucking fact.
I think you just laid the gauntlet down.
I did.
Yeah. Let's see. Step up, France.
I slapped. First of all, I slapped the gauntlet in a very Parisian fashion. Sir, you challenge me. Then I laid down my gauntlet, and then we'll see what happens.
And in years, in like 5 years' time, people look back at this moment and realize this is where the war started.
The culinary wars.
Spain's got fucking great food as well, actually. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, basically all of Europe has great food except for here. No wonder they don't want us anymore. It's the other way around. Why are we leaving them? Any culture we have is entirely borrowed from the continent.
That's actually true as well.
Yeah.
Like, we've got fuck all. The Normans came over.
Yeah.
The Vikings came over before that.
Yeah.
Even all our words for food are mostly French loan words. Because beef is from Busan. It's all from what's his name? Killen. What's his name?
Yeah.
1066. It's all It was all, French names for high class things.
William the Conqueror.
Thank you.
Right, yeah.
It was doing my head in.
Yeah. That's
all I could think of was 0800 00 1066. But we don't learn about 1066 so much in Scotland. I remember
because the Battle of Hastings, isn't it?
Yeah, but we only covered that very briefly. In England, they cover that and Henry VIII and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know too much about that stuff because we never do it.
Yeah. Well, it was almost.
It's all Robert the Bruce and William Wallace.
I was going to say, especially where we are in Fife, it is like, Robert the Bruce, William Wallace, Robert the Bruce.
Yeah. And then
King Malcolm.
And then maybe Robert Bruce was a bit of a gangster.
Yeah.
Kind of a bell end.
King Malcolm. Who else? Saint Margaret.
Yep. Yeah. Totally.
And then you're talking about liberal reforms, and then you're on to World War II, and then your post war reconstruction.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and like how kids used to work down mines and shit.
Beamish.
Your chance to go to Beamish.
Oh, I remember going to Beamish. Fucking
Beamish was great.
You just made us work in a mine.
Yeah.
We went to a sweet shop. It was awesome.
The Victorian sweet shop. Yeah. Anybody that's listening that doesn't know, Beamish was a...
Still is. Yeah, yeah.
Like a Victorian, like, park, essentially.
Yeah. It's like a replica town, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like a heritage park. Yeah. And you go, like, anybody can go, but, like, it's a, you know, school trip. You know, sort of famous place to head to, just outside Newcastle.
Yeah, it's in Durham. Yeah, yeah.
Durham, that's so right.
You can go along and watch someone in a large dress using their mobile phone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you have like folk dressed in traditional wear, and they take you through the day-to-day lives of the sort of, it was all mine work, wasn't it? It was all about the mines, and then you actually get to go down the mine at Beamish.
Got to play that, what do you call it? The thing with the hoop and the stick. You have to keep it going.
Yeah.
Sticky hoop
in
stick.
In the school, yeah. You can go and sit in the school and do a lesson, a Victorian lesson.
Yeah, writing on slates and stuff.
And they have a little town centre and stuff. It's really, really fucking cool, to be honest. Beamish, I think I've been there about three or four times with school. It was always a good excuse for a larf.
We went along, me and my brother, and we were staying down there years ago. And we went along with my gran, and we got chased by the most violent turkey ever. And was it
a wild turkey?
It was a wild turkey. No,
sounds fitting for a conversation.
My nights always end badly after an encounter with a wild turkey. Yeah.
Totally. Oh, wild turkey. I got a free album once for buying a musician a wild turkey.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he was called Stevie Ray something or other. It wasn't Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
No, it's Stevie Hay and the Ray Vaughans.
Oh, right. I was going to say it wasn't Stevie Ray, our MMA coach. I am going to be big in a while. I might be a few years younger than you just now. But,
get me a whiskey. To mention I play guitar.
It's just going to grapple his way up the charts. So, Beamish, where were we? Wild turkeys. I can't remember where we were.
Don't know. Does anybody else have a news story?
Well.
Mine is not happy.
No.
I did not have a happy news story.
Oh, come on, bring us your not happy news story.
There's one that was going to be brought up during the snowstormy wonderness.
Mm-hmm.
You guys heard the story of Fred the Golden Eagle?
No.
Right. Fred the Golden Eagle was one of these, Golden Eagles
in Funny Scotland. Enough.
He'd been sat tagged by a group of wonderful people. And he was, let's say the signal was lost as he was flying close to an Edinburgh shooting estate in the Pentlands. His signal appeared briefly a few days after that, away off out past the Firth of Forth, out into the North Sea.
Okay.
So somehow he'd managed to acquire a boat and sail on his own, obviously, because that's what Golden Eagles do.
Yeah.
And maybe went diving. Definitely wasn't weighted down. And now he's in the sea. That's what happened to Fred the Golden Eagle.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
And on
a bright note.
Wow, how to dispose of a body.
But that's it. It's one of these things that people don't realise that happens. I mean, you look at these pictures and it's one of these things that you kind of associate with Scotland. I shared a photo yesterday of a white-tailed seagull.
The one next to the deer. My God.
Amazing picture, And there's I've seen it with golden eagles on deer and everything as well. And it's you see these photos and it kind of drums up this romantic picture of Scotland, of how incredible some of the wildlife is, because we do have some incredible wildlife.
Yeah.
And then you don't realize it's shooting estates where they're breeding grouse.
Yeah.
Or
absolutely hate raptors.
Aye. Or dumbass pheasants.
Aye.
Who wait until the precise moment to run in front of your car to definitely die. So they're doing that. And any raptors that fly overhead, they see as a threat and they shoot out the sky. And that's what's happened, eh? It's just...
And then
then they get rid of it because they know they're in deep doo-doo if they get caught.
Exactly that, And it's just, it's gamekeepers are being told to do it. It's happening and people need to know more about it, I think.
Yeah. I think the thing as well is that how many gamekeepers want to do it?
That's it. Because it's kind of down to if the gamekeeper wants to do it or if they're being told to do it and being paid to do their job.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the issue lies.
It's where the sticky grounds lie. Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, everybody has their own choice on what to do, but then you also have to put food on your table. So,
yeah. It's shit. It's basically get rid of sport in the States. Most of them.
Pretty much.
It's something like, it's a crazy amount of Scotland's devoted to deer forest and to moorland, which isn't the natural state of Scotland.
No.
I saw these people from, what association were from? Some sort of landowners association. Shitheads. And people are talking about reforesting Scotland, which is actually how Scotland used to be naturally. Yeah. And then they're like, oh no, we shouldn't do this because we'll ruin the view. And I was like, I think a lot of these bare fucking hills will look a lot better with forests. Like, see pictures in Norway and they've reforested over the last 30 years and they look amazing.
They've done it properly. They've reforested and kept it going, whereas the Forestry Commission just now is trying to push through different bills to try and show that Scotland's economy is growing through forestry.
Mm-hmm.
What they're planning on doing is they're doing a 30-year cycle where they'll plant shitloads of forests and then cut them all down.
See, I'm not for that.
Plant on that land but again and cut them all down.
I am for forestry because we could be doing a lot more forestry in Scotland. And it'd bring a lot of jobs to rural areas as well, both in planting and in sawmills and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, this is interesting chat. Red hot content.
Well, we did warn them.
Sorry.
That's all a bit crap. But that picture, like, of the white-tailed seagull with the deer, was that on? Is it
RSPB?
Wow, like. It just shows you the wingspan of those fuckers because that was not a small deer either.
It's a buck, it's a fair size,
And they're just huge. Also, the angry look in its face, like, hey, what are you taking photos for? Surprised it didn't take away the camera. But like, we were talking about it at my work with one of my colleagues, and I was just sort of, he was just like, they are huge. I was like, aye. And I was like, they are the type of bird that will easily take a lamb and probably take a child. And I was like, in fact, I think there's a video online of one lifting a child. And
really?
Yeah, there is. There's it lifts a child and then folk just like grab the legs and it finally drops it. I think the child was too heavy, but it had a go.
But a baby, when
you see
these old wives' tales about bairns getting taken, but you can believe them. Oh, like, yeah, babies are totally. Just like, ha-ha, yeah. Lunch.
Yeah. It's like when you see the pictures of like them flying with lambs, lambs and calves, and you're just like, jeez.
I've seen them. I've seen ones with calves, and I was like, okay, lambs are like calves. Come on, guys, that's absurd.
It is. They're mental.
Enormous birds, really cool. I remember when I stayed up at Bowers Hall, north end of Dunfermline, and I've woken up looking out the window. It was kind of dawn, so there was a bit of light in the sky, and I was looking across at a tree thinking there was a bin bag stuck in it until the bin bag flew away. It spread its wings and flew, and I was just like, oh, shit. No, I was like watching a hunt over the Loch Fitty, and it was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Going for fish and stuff like that.
Cool. That was amazing.
It's my uncle used to work in a fishery up... Where was it?
I thought it was up there.
No, it was further over.
Yeah.
Leslie, I think, possibly. I actually can't remember where it was, but it was a wee fishery up there, and we were up there once, and it was like every day the osprey from Dan Keld from Loch of the Lows,
would
come and fish because it was a stopped, it was a small stopped pool, so there was tons of fish, and they would just, there was the three of them, the two adults and the chick who's, you know, out flying, they're just like teaching it how to hunt.
Amazing.
And you would just sit in and come over, and then they would just, all three of them bomb down, and then back up again, and then they would circle around and then bomb down until they got something, and then fuck off again.
That's cool.
But then at the same time, it's like, how far have they flown? How far?
I saw Osprey in Buffy's Bray.
Aye?
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
That's mental.
And crows were going mental.
Yeah.
They're just like, fuck off!
The range of these, especially these larger raptors, is stupid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, like, yeah.
Like how far they'll travel in a day just for easy food.
Yeah. So you see some of the sat-tagged images of the golden eagles, and they'll start in their breeding points, their nesting points out in kind of like Braemar, Aberdeenshire area.
Yeah.
And then they'll stay there for like the first kind of few months, and they'll just be like, I'm just going to go down to the Lake District for summer. And that's it. There's one bird that was doing that regularly, flying down and doing Lake District and then coming back up here for summer and down there for winter. So they were getting a bit warmer weather-ish.
It's like, see, after all the snow hit, I saw, I think it was about 40 geese in formation.
Uh-huh.
Just going, ah! It's too cold.
There's nothing better down there for you either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I heard this noise and I looked and I can't. I was like, that's got to be at least 40. Like, geez, just like.
I've seen them. I remember seeing them lifting off Loch Leven at one point, and there must have been, what, 200, 300 of them, something like
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ.
It was just like. Obviously something had spooked them and they all just lifted, and it was just like constant black sky.
Yeah, just they were landing in they were kind of staying in the fields around us at Bowers Hall, so it was literally every single field around us was full of geese. So you'd go out and like start your car, and as you started your car and started to drive, there's one of them would be like, oh shit, that one had taken off, and it was followed by 400 others. It's just like shit. Just like,
there's nothing quite like it, seeing that many birds take off all at once and cool, just like, fill the sky.
Yeah, a murmuration of geese.
Yeah. It's like, they're too big for that. Wait, nope, that's happening. I was talking about that. Like, I haven't seen a proper murmuration for a long time, but
no,
there was...
ages.
There was... We were coming back down from... It was the Highland Wildlife Park in January, and we were coming down, and there was, just thousands of birds, and just I doing the whole fucking wavy flappy back and forth. It was just like, that's fucking cool. It's I don't know, is there a reason why we don't see many of them?
They go for warmer climates.
I was just about to say, you get more in England, and even then we're only there for a bit, and then they fuck off down south.
I remember being younger used to see tons of them.
Well, it's kind of, they go for warmer climates, so you tend to find that over here just now we've got a lot of, well, I see over here, south of England at the moment. When I was down for Christmas, staying at Charlotte's folks, we were looking out of their living room window and watching this huge murmuration going on. And it was like thousands of starlings going nuts. It's amazing to see. And it's like you say, you used to see more of them here when the nights were warmer and the nights are fair drawing in. And that's kind of it. It's
just us, well... Yeah, global warming. And
that's it. It's the little changes like that that people don't really notice at first. Yeah, and it's just like, it's always going to go tits up.
It's an effect of one of those things.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Quite fun to watch. We are full of riveting chat tonight.
this is white hot. Right. Too hot to handle content. I think we might lose.
Animal facts.
I think we might lose listeners because what we've been talking about is so controversial.
We've really gone like late night Radio Scotland, haven't we?
We really have.
Well, I suppose we might as well talk about what we're going to be doing in 2 days' time.
Getting smashed.
That is pretty much it. So hopefully there'll be no freak weather events in the next, 48 hours.
Unless it's just fucking killer sunshine.
Yeah. Or the nukes finally drop and we have sweet release.
just like Jeffrey.
Yeah. But we are going to be going to the second of our planned events.
We have a curse. Well, if this goes down,
yeah, then
we're in.
Yeah, we're the problem. So we're going to be at the Fife Whiskey Festival up in Cooper on Saturday between 1 and 4. And if you are have a ticket, because there's it's sold out now. So yeah, if you have a ticket and you're listening, come speak to us.
Yeah,
yeah.
Are there tickets still for the second session?
I don't think so. I think it's all sold out. Yeah,
yeah. We'll be the ones with the whiskey in our hands.
Yeah, whiskey in one and a mic in the other. But yeah, we're going to be there, and it looks as though it's going to be a really good day. Mm-hmm. There are 25, I think it was.
Yeah,
that's really good for a Fife. Based whiskey festival.
Although some of those are glassware. There's a photographer as well who does like he's an international photographer, but he does photos, but he also specializes in like photos for whiskey promotion and stuff like that as well.
Right.
So he's gonna be there obviously kind of selling his wares basically.
That's interesting.
But we've got
Do you like whiskey forties, aye? Got some for you. I'm sure his stuff's really good at it.
Under counter stuff, aye?
Yeah. I'm not going to say... No, I can't.
you got any forties, Jura? The whiskey, no the island.
12, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, that's where I didn't go. No age statement.
Oh, guys. always. But but yeah, we've got King's Barns are going to be there. Mm. Lindor's, Eden Mill. Who else?
Glenkinchie. Are they going to be? I don't know if they're going to be there. They're a Fife-based one, but they're not producing anything till like 2028 or something stupid. So they might not be there.
We've got Weems Malts, who are the guys across in Edinburgh that own King's Barns.
Yes.
And then there's Lindor's.
They do blends, I think.
Yeah, they do blends and single cask bottles. There's King's Barns, who are going to have whiskey, but currently they sell their distilled spirit.
Moonshine.
Yeah, the raw spirit that goes into the barrels. They sell that, and it's like 68%.
I'm going to try that because, as I was saying to us off air...
I'm going to try it and go blind.
They were at Whiskey Fringe, but I was kind of a bit like, well, I've got all these delicious whiskey to try, and I'm already a bit smashed, so I don't want to take up one of my delicious whiskey slots with raw spirit. But do you know what? I'm not going to miss them again. I'm going
to
try it.
I'm going to give it a bash. It's supposed to be floral and fruity. I can actually imagine that, but...
As long as you guys don't mind carrying me to the train.
So, yeah, Lindor's Abbey, Eden Mill, Fraser's of Scotland, Murray McDavid, the Creative Whiskey Company, Isle of Arran.
Oh, your sherry cask is going to be in me.
Deep.
So gorgeous.
Glenn Murray are going to be there. Morrison Mackay, which means Brewadar. God, that is a beautiful, beautiful liqueur. It's single malt with honey and sloes.
It's very nice.
Oh, it's so sweet. And like a lot of it's sickly, but it's like it's perfect for a hot toddy.
I'm gonna get involved with that. That sounds pretty damn good.
I'd show maybe Arran is actually port cask. Is it port or sherry? I think it might be port.
Is it not sherry?
Maybe it's sherry.
Oh, I can't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway,
we'll find out.
There's what is it? Neat, who I think are a firm or a glassware guys. They do these little whiskey glasses. Not the Glencairns, but like one of the other ones that are similar. Inchdairn Distillery. There's Angel Share, who are again another glass manufacturer that do different types of bottles and stuff like that. The Adelphi selection, Paul John Whiskies. I don't know if I've heard of them.
No.
Single malt of some kind. The Islay Boys, which they do, I think they have a lot of the Islay Whiskies. Islay. Strathairn. Single cask, Springbank, Glen Scotia, Loch Lomond, Deanston, and the boys from Loch Fyne will be there, Kilcairn, and also Just Whiskey, the the guys that do the whiskey auctions up the road from us.
I thought he was going to say, and just whiskey. Just whiskey, just yeah. That.
Inch Derny, when I was seeing Glenkinchie, they're another well-established whiskey. Inch Derny is the one, I was just double-checking, is the one near Glenrothes, yeah.
Right.
So that's good. That's so interesting they're going to be there. What? I don't know if they're just going to be advertising or if they're going to have spirit. Or
if they've got something, don't know.
I'd be surprised if they were like, oh, we're just going to take our time.
Yeah.
But they had quite a cool thing. They're like, we're using all the most modern techniques. Because obviously they're never going to compete with places saying, oh, we're traditional.
But then again, if they've maybe got like a first cast type thing and they're just looking to drum up business, then
that's why they're maybe there. Yeah.
Like £400 to get your first bottle and a exclusive whatever. And like I think a lot of them have done.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of £100.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a bottle.
Because I know up at...
I'm sure I've looked into it.
Up at the Harris Distillery, where they do Harris Gin, they're also doing whiskey. It's the Herrich, which is Gaelic for Harris. Ah. Funnily enough.
Close the name.
Le Big Mac.
But yeah, they're doing doing a whiskey, and at the moment it's like £450. To get one of the first 1,000 such and such bottles, and they're doing only that many bottles for the first run because it's the same population as Harris. So there's lots of nice little links to the factors in Harris. But then you also get like a little gold card that says, you know, that you're one of the first, and you'll get a limited edition bottle and you get all this presentation. So you get a nice presentation package to take away with you. And then
see, if I had any sort of money, I'd be... doing these, because there's so many distilleries starting up just now. I'd be doing that all over.
I wouldn't, because I'd be like, I want to drink it.
Oh, I'd still drink it.
Badly. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
well, unless I bought two, I'd maybe, if I had a lot of money, fuck it, I'd just buy two. One to drink, one to keep.
I think I'd still drink it.
If it's really good, though.
Yeah, then I'd probably drink the next one as well. But I might leave it for like a few years.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing about these first runs and them being so much is that it's actually just building capital for the distilleries. It's that thing where they've got no money and suddenly they've got money and they can start doing what they need to do.
That's why a lot of them are making gins and stuff. Yeah, that kind of tides them over.
Look at Eden Mill. Eden Mill started off with beer. Instant product.
You know, I didn't realise that Eden Mill were making whiskey.
They have a whiskey planned, I think.
Amazing, cool. Yeah, because that's been their gins are fantastic.
Yeah, that's why the gins all started coming out. But like I say, with Harris, gin was the instant product, or almost instant product, compared to whiskey. So that's why they've created this beautiful, beautiful.
And Harris gin, honestly, like recommendations wise,
very nice.
Whoa, man!
Yeah,
I didn't even like gin, and I really liked it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't mind gin, but. Yeah.
I think it's, is it kelp that they put in it or something as well?
Yeah. Sea kelp's one of the botanics. Yeah. And then if you're rich enough, or if you're at a bar that has it, they have the sea kelp extract. It's like £25 for a small tincture bottle, Jesus. But then you only put 2 drops in. So instead of putting a bit of lime or a bit of fruit or a garnish,
that's a nice wee.
You put 2 drops of the sea kelp in it, and that's.
Yeah.
From a marketing standpoint, that's pretty good. Yeah, but still.
But honestly, that makes it like, oh.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I've been liking gin more and more. Oh,
we did that gin tasting. My God, we were smashed.
Yeah.
and that was only after 6 gins. I can only imagine the state of us on on Saturday.
See, that's why we're not going for pre-pints. Yeah.
You've done this before, though. You've got a bit of professional background to a whiskey fest.
Well, I remember pointing out to Ralph, I think I said to him, there's a whiskey reviewer on YouTube called Ralphie.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the guy, and I was like, is that Ralphie? I'm not sure. He was wearing like a check shirt, but I'm sure it was him, and his mate had like a holster for whiskey for Glencairn glasses. So they could have like 6 Glencairn glasses in a holster, like going around their chest.
Uh-huh.
Like, so they could then compare them, obviously. I was like, holy shit.
That's,
those guys are pros.
Like, that's next level.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Compared to us who are just going, that's fucking great. Thank you.
So if you're coming along, say hello if you know us.
Yeah.
Or no, if you don't know us, especially say
come
hello.
Come and say hi. Totally.
Don't say hello if you know us, because if we know you, you're probably a dick.
Or you're already with us.
Yeah.
Because we've got a fair wee crew going along, because there's going to be the 5 of us. Mags isn't coming. But Mark is, and he hates whiskey. So this is going to be a fun day.
He's our control group.
Yeah.
Charlotte's not particularly into whiskey either. Oh, so it'll be interesting to see if she gets one.
Oh, is Charlotte coming as well?
Yeah. Huh? I managed to score her ticket today.
Cut the legend to my left.
I say that, I don't have it yet.
It was when he said, I thought Dave didn't have a ticket. And I thought, oh, I thought Dave was coming back. I see what happened now. Yeah, sorry.
So, that'll be good. So, yeah, it'll be me, Jamie, Dave, James, Mark,
Ralph.
Ralph, our mate Ralph, and his mate.
He's got a stunning whiskey collection.
Oh, he does.
Oh, his mate Graham, who I met at the Whiskey Fringe. I think I actually met him once before.
I've probably met him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty same. That'll be good.
But yeah, so there's going to be a wee contingent of us. And then, of course, the Daisies are going to be there. They're going to be playing.
Friends
of
the podcast. We're going
to try and catch a word with them. Mark Bowman's going to be there, the crazy mental cyclist and roar and whatever else he ever gets his bloody fingers into. He's he likes his endurance kind of sports.
He's going to be endurance drinking whiskey.
Saturday.
Good. And if he's still kicking about and we can get a chance to speak with him, we'll try. But I'm not holding out. Depends.
I'm a bit nervous about that one. Like
I'll just be like, really, hi. So cycling.
Yeah, he's one of these guys. Like my brother, like Tony, really looks up to Mark Beaumont. He's like a total hero of his. And it's, I've just got a feeling I'm going to go across to him whilst steaming. Like, what is it like to cycle around the world? Did you not get wet? You know what I mean?
Like, banter that he hears all the time. Yes, Dave, let's do it.
It's got to be done.
I just as we're talking about gin and stuff, I just wanted to give a quick review of the Penman Inn compared to the Premier Inn, which obviously, what do you do when it snows, listeners? When it snows, you go for snow pints.
Yes.
Obviously. So we did that. Me, Dave, Mags, and Penman. And got pretty drunk. And then I went back to the Penman Inn. I've been to it before under multiple different managers. always a great atmosphere.
We were there when it was the Holland, then the McCutcheon Ross Inn, and then Penman Inn.
And, you know, fantastic company, the drinks, the cocktails were absolutely fantastic, lovely. I think they were lovely. Penman put up with my terrible chat and me insisting on playing guitar, even though I complained the last time about me thinking I can play guitar when I can't, especially when I'm drunk. And then I definitely can't play it. And even after complaining about it, I did it again. And he was totally cool with it. I gave me a very comfy, do you know what? That bed settee is much comfier than I thought it'd be. And so Penman in 5 stars. I suggest you go, listeners. Oh, 2 bacon rolls in the morning as well.
And a cup of coffee. That is service.
Fucking right. Yeah. That's, yeah.
I was getting my shit together to go, and Penman was just like, do you want a couple of bacon rolls? Then I walked out the door, bit of banter between Penman, his mother, Mrs. P downstairs, Paul.
Beard? No?
No, not Beard. Rudge's dad.
All right, Rudge.
Rudge.
Yeah.
Paul Rudge.
Paul Rudge.
Oh, my God. That makes more sense. Who we're having a bit of banter with, but then I was like, I really need to go because I'm feeling so hungover. So I just left. So, yeah, 5 stars.
5 stars. Penman Inn. If only there was one in every city.
Yeah.
I have lived in Penman Inn in other cities before, which is weird, but they're no longer there. They're in Dunfermline.
Just rock up to Dalkeith Road.
Or to like Brixton.
I've been in Penman. Does that count?
Did he know?
He's not even here to defend himself.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Enjoy this, Mark. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to Saturday. I think we'll try and speak with some of the exhibitors as well, especially the Fife guys, because they're the ones that we really want to big up. I kind of want to speak to the Loch Fyne guys because I am going back to Best of the West this year, and we will have Coaltown Daisy Lindsay, who will be doing the podcast with me when we're there. And the Loch Fyne guys do the whiskey stand, and they're absolutely brilliant. They're a good laugh, and they have fucking amazing whiskeys. And yeah, it would be good to see them and kind of maybe try and signpost that with them, because it would be good to get in at Best of the West and have a chat with them as well. So yeah, that's all going to be good. Any particular ones you're looking forward to trying or speaking to? Or
the what did I just call it? Inch Cairn. I'm interested in what they've got. I'm also interested in all the Fife ones, basically.
Yeah.
Lindis Abbey and all that. Mm-hmm. But also, God, Arran won me over at the Whiskey Fringe. I'd never been massively into Arran. Mm. And then Arran won me over at Whiskey Fringe. So I'm quite excited to try and have their ones a bit earlier this time. Mm-hmm. Because I was pretty smashed, so everything would be lovely, but they were particularly lovely, so yeah, it does its job, because I've not got a bottle of Arran yet, but I've got a bottle of Tomatin, which I was like, oh, Tomatin as well at the last one, so it totally does its job from a PR perspective for them, because you're like, oh man, I'm going to get a bottle of that.
I mean, that's it. That's why I'm quite looking forward to it, because I've never had that experience of just being able to rock up and taste like a whiskey from... from one of the brands, one of the distilleries, and just be like, all right, I've never had that before. Oh, wow. You know, or like one of their different age statements or whatever. It's always...
You have to sweet talk them a bit for the rare ones, and it doesn't always work.
They've usually got a bottle stashed underneath the table. That tends to be the kind of go-to for this sort of thing.
I don't think any of them are particularly selling.
No,
anything.
They don't. Yeah. If it's anything like Gendron, they don't sell because it's Lovians, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say Lovians are selling, and you're getting a discount for them as well if you've got a ticket. So it'll be interesting. But I think the Fife ones are definitely the ones I'm going to beeline towards.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe have a Springbank to clear the palate.
Springbank's so lovely.
Campbelltown.
Springbank used to be this thing that people who talk about whiskey would go, oh, have you tried Springbank? It's really nice, actually. Sort of, they must have rebranded, and now it's absolutely everywhere.
Oh, Springbank's amazing. But what I quite like is that they've got pretty much every distillery from every major area.
Because that's essential.
They've got the Islands, the Highlands,
Speyside,
and then the Lowlands as well. So, you know, that's covering them all, I think, is it not?
Apart from Isla, but...
Well, that's Islands.
Yeah, but Isla's different.
Mm.
But still, they're getting most of them. Happy days.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. So it'll be good fun and, looking forward to it. I can't stop saying that because I really am. It's all that's going through my head at the moment.
Well, it's when I was a kid.
Whiskey.
When I was a kid, I used to look forward to like Christmas and the weekends and all that sort of stuff. And it was like, oh, you're going to go to a birthday party. See, now I'm like, whiskey festival.
Yeah, I'm going to drink till I'm blind.
Yeah, it's like, if I could put down on my list of interests things that I'm interested in, a whiskey festival would probably be near the top.
Whiskey and beer, I think, are... mix that with music and a good music and good food, and you have Best of the West, and it's fucking great.
I suppose it gives me a reason to go to Cooper. Well, no reason to ever go to Cooper before.
Of all the places, but then it is kind of central Cooper for a lot of Fife, a lot of those distilleries are out, you know, up the East Nuke and whatnot. And it is easy to get through to on the train, so why not? Sounds good. At least it's not Kirkcaldy.
Fuck for that.
Well, do you know where it's not easy to get to?
I'm not sure.
The desert island.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and relax. It's Radio 4 time. Welcome to the desert island of dicks. All right, Dave. That was the weirdest seagull I've ever heard.
That's what they sound like here. This island's fucked up.
We've been out on a wee excursion again on our boat, and as per usual, something went... What happened? I've stopped, being able to come up with different reasons. What happened this time?
We were hit by a torpedo.
Torpedo?
Yeah.
Who fired it at us?
You're going to find out soon.
Oh, fuck.
So yeah, we've crashed and been washed up on. I mean, it's amazing how out of all the islands in the world, we keep getting washed up on the same island.
Do you know what? We keep ending up on this island and having crazy stuff happen, but it still makes more fucking sense than Lost, doesn't it?
Oh, so true. It's like Arrow. There's an island in Arrow that they always manage to end up getting trapped on. It's like this desert island that was a hellscape, and whenever they, it's like out in the South China Sea somewhere, and whenever they leave, like, you know, the east coast of America on a boat, they end up trapped in this island in the South China Sea. So yeah, I think that's what it's kind of like.
Fuck Treasure Island. Fuck Lord of Flies was an island as well. Yeah. Like, fuck that. The only good island-based story is Sonic and Knuckles. let's be real here. Let's be real. If it ain't got Chaos Emeralds, I'm not interested.
Do you know they're making...
And if you can't plug it on top of the other one, I'm not interested as well.
Do you know they're making a Sonic film? And apparently it's a real-life Sonic film, like a live-action.
Oh, no, they're going to call him Dr. Eggman, though, aren't they?
Probably.
Instead of Robotnik.
Yeah.
It makes me sick.
It was funny because that was announced almost directly on the heels after the Super Mario Illumination movie was announced. Oh, yeah, so Nintendo and Sega, back at it.
Oh, man.
What a fucking waste of time, effort, and money. Really, like, you could put your time to, and thought and
into anything else.
And creative imagination into anything else.
Like, actually make a decent Sonic game.
Sonic Mania,
but then Sega didn't make it.
Yeah. That's
true, yes. But yeah, so we're on the island. And this week,
Sega.
Because the pesky Russians have been at it again, allegedly, and have been poisoning their ex-spies.
Allegedly.
We thought we would talk about, what kind of spies or spy shit, like equipment and stuff, would we take to the island to survive? So...
To survive?
Well, or just to be there, you know.
Oh, thank God for that. Nothing I've got with me so far is helping that. So.
Yeah, in fact, you brought the biggest danger to the fucking island. So, no, actually, I lied. Jamie did. He brought the Ku Klux Klan.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Silence awful. I love
it. A honey badger in the Ku Klux Klan. Great.
That's like that feel-good story. We can kill them guilt-free. That's true. Get rid of the podcast.
I thought you were meaning like the worst threat was Shania Twain.
Oh, fuck. We really have some of the worst things. We've got Shania Twain. We've got Freddie.
Shania Twain would do your tits, and anytime you go to do anything, she'd go, "Let's go, girls." Like, shut up, Shania. Stop saying it. God damn it.
Freddie Cougar. We've got what's his face? The basement guy.
Joseph Fritzl. The basement guy.
The basement guy.
Anytime you build anything, Shania's there like, that don't impress me. Shut up, Shania.
Get in the basement.
I forgot Fritzl was there.
Fuck. It's just a horrendous... Pierce Morgan's on the island as well.
Fuck.
So, right.
That's for... Worst horror of all.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What have we done?
This place needs bomb.
By now, Pierce Morgan's surely leading the Ku Klux Klan. Let's be honest, guys. Let's be honest.
Let's kill them all. So, what spy shit would one of you guys bring?
Jamie.
So, I'm going to bring... something that I can both use as my usual thing to control and defend the island both at the same time. So I'm doing a social good at once. I am bringing Wet Nelly, the custom-built submarine car created for the 1977 James Bond film, The Spy Who Loved Me. Oh, yes, that fucking car submarine.
Is that not like a Lotus Esprit or something like
just
that?
Just about to say, based on a Lotus Esprit. So I'm going to have to steal it off of Elon Musk first, because he bought it in 2013.
Oh, did he?
Did, yeah.
I'm surprised it's not in space.
Yeah, that's a good point. You should have been send it to fucking Titan. Not Titan, Europa.
But
yes, so he bought it for $550,000, which is actually less than I thought I'd go for.
Yeah, for a
It's still functional, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, it's still, well.
Well, it'll have, I think it's the submarine version of it.
Where yeah, it doesn't have any wheels.
Yeah,
it's obviously got the, that was,
got the but it does have things. Machine guns.
Exactly, could fire torpedo. This is where the torpedo came from. So Musk was going around our island. He'd landed one of his rockets there, saying, well, there's a little weird shit going on this island. I've seen from my satellites I've just put up in space. What the fuck's this about? So then I obviously had to wrestle him out of it and then drown him.
Was this before you like got washed up on the island?
No, he shot the torpedo to wash us up.
All right, okay. And then you went out.
Yeah, because he wanted to do incredible things with the island, yet put everybody under shitty working conditions. It's just what he does. It's just what he does. So then I'm going to use this car to both keep all my workers on the island.
I was going
to
say, wait a minute. Put people under shitty working conditions on our island?
That's exactly. That's why I said, that's my job. That's my job. So to keep my plantation going and everything else we have going on, I'm going to have this. So if anybody tries to escape, I'm going to machine gun the shit out of them. And I can defend our island against threats. And no, that's pretty much it.
Wait a minute. Are you actually becoming a Bond villain?
Oh, I would love to be a Bond villain. Oh,
you're a secret island base.
A hollowed out volcano lair, yeah. Played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, that is a structured callback.
But I can also use it so if things go tits up, I can escape the island. But why would I escape the island where I can live like a fucking king?
I think we're going to have to take you out at some point.
It's going to have to happen. Yeah.
We'll lead the rebellion.
Yeah. Just going to...
It's calling the sous chef.
Freddy! God, we've got Hannibal Lecter as like a Somalia as well. Yeah. Oh dear, what an island. So yeah, that's an interesting idea. Yeah. Cool. Dave?
Well, I sort of went for, I mean, obviously a lot of my ideas so far have been questionable. Like, you know, I mean, I was like,
yeah.
So I thought I'd carry along the same lines. Yeah.
Great.
So
what now?
I thought I'd go for something specially acquired from Q Branch.
Mm-hmm.
To go along with my car crash of ideas that I've had so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bringing along the car crash from Casino Royale.
Can't believe it did that too. Was it a DB9 or
DB6? DB7. Yeah, DB7. Oh, yeah. So right, it was a world record breaking car crash. Where they roll the DB7
like
maybe
50 million times.
Yeah, something.
I don't even drive, and I was like, ah!
Why? So, yeah, that's what I'm bringing along.
The car crash. Trust you. Is this car crash just like in perpetual motion?
Just all the time. It's worth avoiding that area of the island.
It's just sort of like a time loop. It just kind of just stops and then
goes back to the start. So just when you think you can cross the road safely, just make sure you look left again. That's kind of it. I just thought it would be a nice, you know, if we're ever bored or anything, it was quite an entertaining thing to see.
over and over again.
And like, who doesn't want an Aston Martin?
Do we get to go in it and have shots?
Not me, mate. I've got my fucking submarine boat car.
You'll need to run to catch it up, though.
So I love it. We've got a car that actually doesn't have any wheels, and then a car that's just in a perpetual crash.
Didn't
we hook that up to some form of generator? That,
yeah.
It's like the toasting cat thing, yeah. But a toasting cat.
It's like a windmill of nightmares. It is the Nyan cat of car crashes.
Oh my god, Nyan cat. Fucking hell. Just when you think you've forgotten something. On the subject of actually fucking YouTube holes, Jamie.
Yeah.
Fuck. That was... The whole steamed hams. And like the amount of videos under it in different ways. And yeah, like
the Pulp Fiction one was good.
Oh my god.
But I love how that meme just came about. And I sort of forgot about it last year. And then I was like, oh, what about steamed ham thing? Oh, yeah, still gone.
And it's deep on YouTube. Like, wow.
So memes,
yeah.
Memes.
Meme holes. Getting stuck in a meme hole. Thanks, Jamie.
No.
Perpetual motion crash forever. Wow.
I just thought it'd be a nice little addition. It's over the other side of the island. It might be quite loud at times, so getting to sleep might be a bit of an issue. but, you know, why not?
Fair enough. Well, I know what I'm going to bring. I am going to bring to this island to keep people away from the island and protect us. Although we once saved at some point, there's potentially pirates out there. I'm going to bring sharks with freaking lasers. And if we can't get sharks, some really angry halibut.
Ill-tempered sea bass.
But yeah, I kind of reckon that would be a good defense around the island.
Yeah. A moat of sharks with freaking laser beams on their foreheads is a great show. Yeah.
Recently on a UFC like promo package, we had Yancy Medeiros. He's like, oh yeah, what I like to do to relax is swim with sharks.
Oh yeah.
I used to just swim with sharks, not in a cage.
Yeah, no, just swim with sharks.
And they weren't great whites, but they were at least the size of him, if not bigger. And he's like, oh yeah, just like swim with them. No protection, just a snorkel, go down for a bit. It's like, you fucking madman.
Yeah, that doesn't sound at all relaxing.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have laser beams, opposite. To be fair. So he might, that's maybe a line he wouldn't cross.
Fair point.
Yeah.
But then it's like, what's his face?
Can I just ask, are the sharks in the volcano played by Denzel Washington, like, in a warmed up... Because there's a place on Earth where there's sharks inside a volcano.
By Denzel Washington?
Not played by Denzel Washington, as far as I know. But there's a place on Earth, I'd have to look up where there's a volcano, and there's sharks that like live inside the volcano because it's like a hot spring type deal going on.
All right. No, I was thinking just round the island.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, protecting us.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's like, holy shit, yeah, sharks live in this volcano. What the fuck? That's like a Sci-Fi Channel movie waiting to happen.
It actually is. Volcano sharks from outer space. I'd watch it.
I'm still confused about Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
He could... Because you said the volcano was played by Denzel Washington.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, did I say Denzel Washington?
Yes. Yeah.
I meant Daniel Day-Lewis.
Then you continued to say it.
Yeah. They're nearly
the
same
fuck
person.
Is wrong?
I now understand. I was just really confused. Like, did we talk about Denzel Washington playing a shark?
There's a very obvious difference between those two men. One of them's won Best Actor at the Oscars, and the other one hasn't.
It's true. Do you know what? Yeah. I think if Daniel Day-Lewis played Denzel Washington, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between Denzel Washington and Daniel Day-Lewis playing Denzel Washington. Yeah, he's so good. He's so good at his craft. True. He's so good.
This just makes me think of Tropic Thunder and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh my God.
Where I'm not sure if that was irony or not. Right.
I think I should have talked about it in the podcast before, but everyone should watch. It's just been picked up for a third season. It's Travelers. Mm-hmm. By the Stargate writers, but there's a bit of a beginning and it sort of flashes back to it later where one of the characters is severely mentally handicapped, and you know, in that Tropic Thunder, you never go full retard. The actor, a character, Marcy, went full retard. It's like, she actually does it quite well, you know, and it's treated very seriously, but it's, that's all I can think when she's just like, you never go full retard. <It's>
like, oh dear.
But Travelers is excellent. I just rewatched season 2. It was better than I remember it being.
What's that on?
Netflix.
I haven't seen it. I'll have to
check
it
out. Brad Wright, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
And it's...
Have you
really
seen
well
any
done.
Of this new series on Stargate Command?
No, apparently it's awful.
Really? Because the trailer looked as though it might be all right, but...
Yeah. They'd done a feature cut of it, but I think you have to pay for it, don't you?
Yeah, well...
You get like a first couple episodes free or something.
Yeah, well, I think Stargate Command has like everything on it.
Yeah.
All Stargate stuff. It's an MGM thing.
But they're still selling it to like... It's still on Netflix or Amazon or stuff. Yeah. Right. And Sky are still showing it. Because I assumed the whole point would be you can only get
all
it
right,
here.
Yeah, no, it's they've still got syndication because they'll make tons of money out of syndication.
Yeah. But have you seen the campaign by Joseph Malozzi, who is a producer on Stargate Atlantis? He's started a thing to get more Stargate from Rob Wright, Wright and Robert C. Cooper.
Yeah.
Because they basically think that Origins is... because it didn't cost him much, MGM testing the waters for a new series. And they're give them a new series.
Well, because...
Get them to write it. And I think there's a... I'd be up for that. And
Because
people said Universe, but Universe apparently was finishing comics.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to have to read now.
MGM were originally going back to... What's his face? Emmerich. Yeah,
but
to...
The,
But that all fell to bits after Independence Day.
Which was pretty bombed. Shit.
Yeah.
And Independence Day 2, apparently Emmerich didn't like Stargate the series, right? But Independence Day 2 was the logical conclusion of the Stargate universe.
Yeah.
Didn't make any fucking sense. True, why didn't actually. He like it?
I've not even seen it, but like just known from the trailers and everything, it totally is.
If the Stargate program became using public technology, knowledge. Then that's what we'd have to do. But I would love a reboot. Or a reboot that still paid homage to the... Maybe Stargate program's been shut down.
Aye, so...
Defeated all of our enemies. Stargate program's been in cold storage for, like, 10 years, however long it's been.
Yeah, which could be about right.
So how Stargate was mentioned, I just kind of went to my happy place.
Me and Jamie could talk Stargate forever.
Yeah, we won't know because we talked about it too much already.
But that's kind of cool. That was a bit of a... We are rambly tonight.
Yeah. I will just say last year in Stargate, I love Stargate, but then when you realise it's at the intellectual level of ancient alien theorists, then you're like, oh, no.
Ah, but aliens.
Oh, aliens.
It's one of my favourite memes is the Daniel.
The guy who usually aliens, but it's like Goa'uld or ancients.
It's like ancients. it's good. And if you don't know anything about Stargate, then you'll just have to
watch it all.
Yeah.
Catch
get on
up.
It, Dave. I'm all right.
Was it three separate series about what? Altogether 16 series or something like that. And a film.
Fuck. And a few
director DVD films as well.
It was meant to be an Atlantis film, but
never got made sadly. It just ended up on Earth. That's spoiler for you guys out there.
Watch it now, sweet.
So we've got a submarine car from a James Bond film. We've got a perpetual crash from a James Bond film. And we've got some sharks with freaking laser beams on their heads.
What else would you need?
Yeah, I think we've done all right this week.
Yeah.
So let's speak nicely to the sharks and leave in your submarine. Do you think all three of us can fit in it? It is a Lotus Esprit. It's quite small. It's
there's only enough room for Bond and one lady. And me and Dave are definitely not one lady sized.
Yeah, I'm also going to say it's a Lotus Esprit. It's British built, so I'm not sure how long we'll survive. I hope it's not far from the mainland.
Oh my God.
Ah, dear. Well, yeah, let's call it to a close and call the podcast to a close for this week. So I suppose it really does bring us to that time where I should say, Jamie, give us some socials because we've not done that.
Please talk to us on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at Five Club, Twitter at Five Club, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram Five Club, or on www.fiveclub.co.uk.
Lovely.
Yes. And that definitely does bring us to that time of the evening where I have to ask Dave, what is the motto this week?
It would have to be support your local band. Support Little Shop of Heroes.
Definitely.
Get on, give them a wee donation, whatever you can afford. Honestly, they're spot on, I think. I never met them.
Wonderful, fantastic people.
Yeah, they seem to be gen up people. They've got a nice wee community going. Why not support that? Because Dunfermline used to be full of communities and stuff, and now it's full of one guy in a snow shovel. So, fucking get it done.
One guy in a snow shovel. That sounds like a YouTube video you don't want to watch.
I lost my job.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.